Tasnim Beis Halacha Beis. So it's a continuation of the previous halacha. The halacha Aleph said that if you kasher before chametz becomes usher, there's no not bar not, and therefore you could have all kinds of kulos in the binyanim and all those kind of things. Maybe kasher after those.
Then no in the binyanim.
Right, kulos in the binyanim. The kli does not have to be in the binyanim, since it's not since. Since it's not bar not, whatever that that's what we talked about a few times ago, it's not bar not, and therefore you're allowed to kasher even if it's ben yomar and even if it's no shishim, all kinds of kulos that you can do. That's what the Mechaber had said. The Mechaber and the Rama had said. We talked to them, many of the Chonim argue, but that's what they had said, that it's not bar not, and therefore you can kasher even if it's ben yomar, as long as you kasher before the fourth hour. That was halacha aleph. And halacha beis is a continuation, so a little bit of a taking back of that, but a continuation, which is the Mechaber says Yesh Li Zara Milahago Kli Habosu Kli Achol Biachad. When you're going to kasher for Pesach, it's not like treif that you just have one kli or a few kelim and all treif that you kasher together. Here you kasher presumably loads of dishes for Pesach, including milchus and plashik. So the Mechaber says you should be careful to not kasher milchus and plashik together. LMK Echad Mihem Eini Binyam, unless one of them is Eini Binyam. And so this is a continuation. Before he told you for Pesach, for the Chametz Shaboy, you don't have to worry about it being any binyamah. But the Milchus and Fleishig Shaboy, then you do have to be concerned, because the Chashash is if you cast them together at the same time, you put in a Milchus fork and a Fleishig fork, then you're going to, there won't be not or not, and you'll then make the, if you make the water treif, then the male makes the dishes treif. Then there won't be naparat, and then you make the dishes treif. Either, like you're saying, because the water becomes treif, or because the kelim will touch each other. We'll get to that in a second. Okay, but so you might make the things treif, and therefore.
Well, if you can't touch each other, then you got a problem. If one of them is in the yamer, the other one is in the yamer, you're going to have a problem.
No, it wouldn't be a problem, because by the time the bleas get in and out, it'll be naparat. It's only a problem if they're both ben yamer, and the bleas together will become basa b'chol. At that point, you'll be stuck. Once the bleas transfer another time, then you don't have to worry about them becoming basa b'chol. Because if they transfer and join and become basa b'chol, you're stuck. If they transfer without...
It doesn't become basa b'chol.
It won't become basa b'chol, correct. So that place, let's say the...
basa and cholam in the kenya, but not basa b'chol.
Correct. And the basa will be not for not. The basa, by the time the guy said, will be not for not, you don't have to worry about that. The cholam, it's a mechal gekli, so you'll be fine. You'll be covered. So the Mechaber says you have to make sure one of them will be in the binyamin. Okay? Now, I forgot to mention that the... this din is going to talk about Eini Ben Yomer, and I forgot to mention the Bir Halacha at the end of the last halacha brings a minig from earlier Achronim, a minig that when you kasher for Pesach, it shouldn't be Eini Ben Yomer, it should be 3 days old. It shouldn't have been used for 3 days. I don't know where that minig comes from. It doesn't make sense. So, okay, such a minig. Okay. So anyhow, so he says the din is we have to make sure one of them is Eini Ben Yomer. And the Ramos says, Kol Shekein. So before we go on, this Mechaber is very much limiting what it said beforehand. Right? The din before him, we said this big kula that you can touch it even when it's ben yomer for chametz, is saying just, but you have to realize that you don't want to trafe up your dishes while you're doing that. So you might get rid of the chametz, but you don't want to make them basa b'chol. So when you get a kash, okay, then you have to kash, say, all the milk dishes at once, or all the fleshy dishes, or at least one set should be in the beginning. And the Ramos says, now by us, kol shekein kli shel iser, kol shekein the kli of iser, you have to make it be Eini Ben Yomer, and that's because by Kli of Isser, there isn't any possibilities of not Banat. Of course, it has to be Eini Ben Yomer. Alkei Nagu, therefore the minig is Shloi Lahago Shum Kli Ben Yomer. The minig is that we don't kasher any kelim when they're Bnei Yomer, as Ramah says, meaning even on Pesach, that even for Pesach where you could potentially kasher Kli of Ben Yomer, because for Pesach they held that you really could, even so, you can't do that. You can't. The minig is to not do that because of these problems. So there are more. Well, because of these potential problems, therefore you can't do it. Okay, what he means is let's talk about what he means. Okay, there's a question whether he means what exactly he means to say. But because of these potential problems, therefore he says you shouldn't kasher. He could mean two things. One he could mean is because the milchus and fleishig, like the Mechaber spoke about, that you'll kasher the milchus and fleishig dishes together. Or he could mean iser. He just said kol shekein kli shel iser, because the second thing was he said is the kasher. So we'll talk about. Just give me a second. We'll get into it. Okay. Okay, the Makan Avram on this din tells you to look at in your din Sadihei, okay, and the Prim Gadol tells you what he means to say about this. The Mechaber over there talks about this case where the two dishes are in at the same time, and the Mechaber and the Ramah have a machlokes over there. The Mechaber says that mechatchilu you shouldn't do it, have a milchus and fleishig dish together, because of the chashashas, either they'll touch each other or it'll become basa in the water, those different chashashas, but it's only mechatchilu. But even if you did it, then it's fine. Okay, the Machaber holds that's considered not parnat in that case. And the Ramah says that b'diavad it's not good. That's not considered not parnat. Okay, so what the machlokes is just leave for now. That's not megedah. That's your danish. I don't know what the machlokes is. But the point is, the Prima Gaon says is that so the Machaber who holds that b'diavad, if you would do milchus machlokes together, it would be mutter b'diavad. So he says, usually, sorry, you should be careful. But it's not the end of the world, because if you mess up, it won't be the end of the world. So you should be machped. You shouldn't do it together, because l'chapili, he says here today, you shouldn't do it. But if you end up doing it, that's okay. If you end up doing it, that won't be the end of the world. The Ramah who holds that b'dieved, it's no good. B'dieved, if you do milk and flesh dishes at the same time when they're ben yomer, it's no good. So therefore, he says, therefore he has the meaning to not do it at all. Because the potential, if you mess up, and you kasher all your Pesach dishes, and some are milking, some are flesh, and two going at the same time, the potential is to make a chef b'dieved, so therefore you shouldn't, that's why he has the meaning to not do it at all. Okay, that's how he's medayik, while the Mechaber just says, yesh lizar, it's just like it's a good thing to do, and the Ramah takes a stricter, because the Ramah holds that the evidence is so good, therefore he takes more of a tab b'hachma. Okay.
Gzera to Benyamin, is that it?
Gzera?
I mean, right now it's any Benyamin, it's fine.
Right now, no, so the Ramah says you can cash it when it's any Benyamin. Okay, again, in Halacha Aleph it said you can cash even when it's Benyamin for Pesach. The Mechaber said, but you're going to mess up because of the Chomer Shabbat. But the Mechaber said, but you might mess up because of the Milchus and Fleishig. So at least one of the Kehillim has to be in the Benyamin. Mm-hmm. In one meaning, either the Milchus or the Fleishig, one of the sets have to be in the Benyamin. And the Ramah says, the meaning is you never cash a Kehillim that are any of them Bnei Yamin. Ah. And the reason is because, according to the way
only
that...
Only with the Benyamin. You shouldn't do this only with the Benyamin.
It's in the Benyamin,
then it's fine.
Right. It has to be in the Benyamin. Once it's in the Benyamin, then it's open to you. You do whatever you want to it. So the Prima Gaon, the way he's saying, fits in with the way he's medayik in the Taz. The Taz says, the Ramah who says, Akei Nogu, Shloim Lahago, you shouldn't do a clean lesson in Ben Yomer, is because of what the Mechaber said. Because you might do milchus and fleishig together. Okay? So that's what Pshat was in your day. He said, the Mechaber in your day said that the milchus and fleishig together would be mutter b'dieved. So he says, yes, we are. The Ramah holds milchus and fleishig b'dieved is usher. So he says, therefore the meaning is to not do it at all. It always should be Ben Yomer. I mean, if you're doing just one dish, you have one spoon to cash from Pesach, it should be Ben Yomer, even though you can't go wrong. Because it's not going to be milk and the fridge, this is one dish, but it's a chash of milk that you might do basar and chol at the same time. Basar and chol dishes at the same time. The Magen Avraham, this is a primum thing. The Magen Avraham says the chash is that you might do kelim shel iser, which is the words of the Rambam. Kol shekin kli shel iser, you should be careful because kol shekin the kli shel iser has to be in the benyamin. Al kein agu that you should be benyamin. So the Magen Avraham is with that he's calling on kelim shel iser. His chash is might do kelim shel iser. If his gzera is off to kelim shel iser. And it has nothing to do with the machlokes in Tzadihei. That machlokes in there has to do with not by not. If he's talking about chash of kelim shel iser, no, not by not by kelim shel iser. So then, according to that, it's a different chash. It's not. You should always have the kelim b'nei b'nei, even for Pesach, when you really can't go wrong. Because also, you might do if that's how you chash for Pesach, you might chash like that for year round for some other trade thing, and therefore it's sort of a minute to do it. And even the Mechaber could have helped with this minute. And then the chash of kelim shel iser, anybody can hold them. And whatever, it just didn't hold them a minute. Okay, so if you're listening, there's a little bit of something different over here, because the Prima Gaon is the one who said both of these things. He said that he's the one who notices this subtlety between the Taz and the Magen Avraham, as well as the chash of basar b'chol or iser, which would mean that the Magen Avraham would go even according to the Mechaber, but he also explains when the Magen Avraham says, Ayin Simin Tzadihei Siv Gimel, he means to say is, that the Prima Gaon one who says is, when he says, Ayin Tzadihei Siv Gimel, that's like the whole Magen Avraham, he means to say is, and that will explain to you why the Mechaber just says Yesh Lizar, and the Ramah is Machmir. Okay, so it's not really, according to the Prima Gaon, the Magen Avraham is not exactly what she tells us. Okay, it's not exactly reading right. Okay, maybe I'm being too complicated. Anyhow, okay, but that's the pshat. Okay, so there's two things. Either it's a pshat of that you will do a trade kelim, or you do basar b'chol, but in whichever case it is, the Ramah says the meaning is that the kelim should be the ain't b'nei yomer when you cash them, which the Mechaber said you don't have to do. There are ways to cash even when it's b'nei yomer. Okay. So now we have a question. The Ramah said that you have to have the meaning is that the kelim should be ain't b'nei yomer. Does he mean that literally? That the kelim have to be ain of bnei yomer. You must have kelim ain of bnei yomer when you kasher. That what he means, literally like what he says. Or does he mean to just say is you can't be samech on what it says on halacha aleph? Don't assume kelim of chametz have not burned out of them because there's possible ways to go wrong. So therefore, don't be samech on not burned out. Okay. Well, if you're not going to be samech on not burned out, then it'll have to be ain of bnei yomer. Does he mean that literally it must be any b'nei yomer?
The question is b'di'evet, if it didn't.
No, I don't know about that. Oh, that's a good question. I didn't even think of that. That's a good question. What would he say b'di'evet? I didn't mean that.
What else nafkamina?
Nafkamina is, what happens if you want to have shishim? You want to have shishim in the water connected to keli.
You want to have shishim?
Yeah, you have a pot that has 100 cubic inches of water, and you have your keli is only 1 cubic inch of metal. You know that you have shishim connected. So you want a kashrut like that. So that thing is, I'm not saying it's not for not. I'm not saying I'm kashrut because it's not for not. I'm like, I don't have to be. So, that, and I'm not being makel as halacha al says. But I'm not making it any ben yomi either.
What would be the problem? If it's a shishim connected in the water, what would be the problem?
So if you say is, the Rambo just means this, don't be samach hanat bernat, so then I'm covered. I'm not being samach hanat bernat. Yes. But if the Rambo thinks, okay, nohagu, that you only kasha kingdom in any ben yomi. So if he means that literally, the minute is to always be any ben yomi, so then I'm not doing that. My key is ben yomi.
Yeah, over the minute.
Right, this minute, the minute is that you have to kasha, the minute is you always. Do you know, even the halacha out, this long halacha says you can kasha however you like to for Pesach. The Rama says that sort of at the end of that halacha. This is like the end of that halacha. Says that's
the
end.
The question is the minhag also give a dispensation for anything for shishim? Yeah, and I'm not talking about most people don't have shishim kinneg in the water, but I have about shishim. That's also not being.
That's exactly the question. That's exactly my question. Does he mean to say is? He's saying the normal, don't be saying machanap or not, so the normal thing to do is like,
you're saying, if you want to be the minute is strictly in the minyan. I don't know. The minute is saying that for normal people, about the minute is in the minyan. But if you have an excuse, you're also being the kai of the minute.
I agree. Right. So I'm agreeing.
I feel like you're saying it's different than one of his two brothers.
That's the same. That is what I'm saying.
But it covers both.
I don't think you think so. Why is it both? Okay. Why is that both?
If you means it literally. You're covering the passage. If the child is concerned, maybe going wrong. You're covered.
Right. So, yeah.
If your concern is the minute, are you also covered?
No, that's one side. What you just said is two sides. There's more one side of mine. That the minute is that. The minute is to not be samach not for not. And to do not say not for not, and you have to do other things to be more careful. Okay. The other side is that the Rambam means it literally. The minute is you must be in the ben yomi. Because of reasons, because of chashash not for not, therefore the minute is
called. But one concern, if you don't, you get peshed for not being able to kind of minute.
Right.
So I'm telling you, the minute does not mean exclusive to the ben yomi. It means don't do a situation that could possibly come to not for not situation.
Okay, so you're saying.
That's one side.
And I agree with you. I myself would agree with you that that's what the Rambam means to say. So you mean don't be something not for not. The minute is to not do not for not and to do the things that work for all Yisur, like Shishim or any Ben Yoyim or
anything
like
that.
Okay, I would say like you. And so you would say that if a guy wants to do Shishim, that would be fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I would agree with you.
Okay.
However, So the other side to say that I would have said your way. Okay, the only thing is the
very negate.
Very much negate. I'm about to tell you why it's very negate, which is let me explain a little bit why you would think to say it has to be dafke and before I tell you why I'm saying that. The reason to say that is because saying something should be. To say that you should not be samach hanat for not. Why wouldn't you be samach hanat for not? Why would the Rama have a minute to not be samach hanat for not? What's wrong with that? The Machab had a way to deal with it. He said, make sure one of the kingdom is in Bnei Yomim, or only cast it one time at a thing at a time. Do all the fleshes together, and then do all the milchuk together. Why do you have to? What's the reason for the minute? The reason for the minute is because it's a sophistication to understand that I could cast all these forks, and then all these forks. And they're all Bnei Yomim, but not the two sets of forks together. For an average person, it's too complicated. Right. That's the reason for the minute. It's make it easier for people that they shouldn't go wrong.
Right.
So from that side, there's a sense that says, Eina Bnei Yomim is really simple and straightforward. Don't use it for 24 hours and then cash it. Telling people to have shishim gets more complicated, especially if you remember that shishim builds up in the kelim. If I do one fork, there's going to be shishim. Like two, if I do 24, there's not going to be shishim anymore. The bleas keep coming out. So people, you have to be more sophisticated to be able to understand that if I'm going to do shishim, I have to do it in exactly this way. I have to measure it. And I have to remember, I can only do one fork. I can't do three forks. So it gets too complicated. So it could be for the simplicity of it. The point of the minute is to make things simple, to make it that people don't make mistakes. So the simplicity is, don't use it for 24 hours. Everybody understands that. That's clear and to the point that everyone understands that. And that could be the reason for the minute. Okay, now, the all these poskim have taken the stricter way of saying it. What I said to you is the Mohammed way, which is that he means only Eina Ben Yomei. He means don't use any other kulas, okay? And I will have to admit...
Is that an exam?
Yes. Hold on. Greg, we come to exactly how it's okay. Yes. But I have to tell you that the reason why the all these poskim said this is because Rabbi Lubin showed them a deed in a Mogen Avraham, okay, to say that that's what he means. And I had seen this Mogen Avraham a bunch of times that I've seen it with Rabbi Lubin, and I thought he was 100% right. And I looked at it again in preparing for today, and I haven't a clue what he's talking about. So I've looked at it, I've seen it who knows how many plenty of times beforehand, and that it's Mukubal, Rabbi Lubin's Mogen Avraham, who says that it's even Shishim you can't do, you must do anything. And I looked at it again now, and I haven't a clue what he's talking about. I did not get to call him this morning to try to understand what he's doing. He could probably explain it to me better. I'm telling you, I've seen it before. But it happens to be that the Chokyakov, right in the din, says it like that. Chokyakov says that the minigas does make a difference even if the shishim, the minigas has to be in the beginning. And we're going to talk about Dr. Chuva in a second, who also understood it this way. Okay? The Chokyakov is right in the din, the Dr. Chuva is in Kufi Gimel, we'll talk about it in a second.
They both say you should, no matter what.
When the Ramah says, Eina Ben Yomei, he means the minigas, Eina Ben Yomei, which understanding to mean is that the point of the minig is to make things simple. People shouldn't get mistakes in that barnad, and Basar B'chol is different than Isser, and all these things are too sophisticated. So Eina Ben Yomei is a simple way to deal with that. Okay? And Shishim is somewhere in the middle. Shishim is more complicated. It's not the same as not barnad. It's not that complicated, but it's too complicated for your average Joe in the street to make because what is the Shishim? So what you just say is, just make it Eina Ben Yomei, and life will be simple. Okay?
And doesn't though you also say that you could catch if the grape juice.
That's exactly where we're heading. That's exactly where we're heading. Okay. Now, the month we're going to. Okay. Now, you have to realize that the prima gadol we said beforehand that said the reason for the chashas is because you might do basam chala, because you might do milk and meat at the same time, because you might do chum shape, would not lead you to think that the Ramah means to ask to say you can't do shisha. Okay. It wouldn't have made you think like that. Okay. Now we go to the Dr. Chuva. The Dr. Chuva. Before we say Dr. Chuva, I have to say three things. You understand? Even say shayla. Okay, first of all, in Hilchos Shabbos it says that if a choyle she'ein bo sakana needs to eat hot food or fresh food or whatever his need is, he needs to eat food on Shabbos that you don't have, so a yid can't cook for him, he's only choyle she'ein bo sakana. Okay, a yid can't cook for him. A goy cook from Hilchos Shabbos, the goy could cook for him. The goy would let a cook and make him food. So the shayla is, or in cases that he's allowed to, the shayla is that the food's going to be bishlakim, and the machaber says that a choyle she'ein bo sakana is allowed to eat bishlakim. Okay, so you don't have a choice. On a regular Tuesday, the yid can help in the cooking. On Shabbos, the yid can't help in the cooking, and therefore the din is al-chol is allowed to eat bishlach. Okay, that's one thing. Second is the mechaber in Kufiyud Gimel, which is what the Dr. Chuva is on, has two shitas as to whether you have to kasher after bishlach. Okay, he brings two days as whether you do or don't have to kasher after the kriyas bishlach, and it's assumed that we're makhmer for that din that you do have to kasher after bishlach. Okay, the mechaber doesn't say, but that's what we assume. Okay? And the last thing, before I tell you what the shayla is that the bishlachim is batal b'roch. Okay? Bishlachim is batal b'roch. Now, with all this together, so the shayla is the Dr. Chuva talks about it like this. If a guy cooks on Shabbos for a yid, which he's allowed to, and the food is bishlachim, so Dr. Chuva says, so you have to kashi kelim. You just cook bishlachim in the kli. We go like the machaber that says you have to kasher after bishlachim. So the guy tomorrow, someone's sick, and the guy cooks him a piece of chicken. So he just made the kalim tray from bishlachim. So you should have to kasher the kalim after Shabbos. Okay, now this, it happens to be just as an aside. This is really getting to a different shayla, which is a Rechaim shayla, which is when the Chazal were matir chola to eat bishlachim on Shabbos. They say is the food is bishlachim, but you're allowed to eat it anyhow. So a food is awesome, but you're allowed to eat it anyhow. In which case, we understand you have to kasher the kelim. Or do they say that the iser official akum doesn't apply when a choyle needs it on Shabbos? Okay, like a hutron chuyuk kind of a shayla. Okay, which is it happens to be it's a big machlokes. It's a machlokes rishonim, a machlokes achronim. It's a theory in the Mishaburu about it. There's a very famous theory we'll talk about later. That's a very famous theory in the Mishaburu because of the story that came afterwards. But anyhow, there's a big shayla whether that's true. Does the food after Shabbos can somebody else eat it? Could the choyle himself eat it after Shabbos? Because that's a machlokes in an Arachaim machlokes whether the choyle is allowed to eat it after Shabbos is over. Okay, and is it the food hutron? I know, but it's brought in Arachaim. The child is in Arachaim. Well, no, it's here and here. Parts of it in your day and parts in Arachaim, but yeah, it's talked about in the Hilchot. But he's assuming that the food is also after Shabbos, meaning the food is Bishlachim, so the child says, so you should have to catch the Kalim. So he says, So are you allowed to kasher the kelim right when Shabbos ends? Which is what you would expect to do. The guy cooked it on Shabbos, so it should cut. See, so wait a second. The Rama says you're not allowed to. You always have to kasher when the kli is ain't a ben yermi. So he says, but in case, no, he's on the scene that he means literally.
Yeah,
so he says, so if it's ain't a ben yermi, you have to wait till Sunday to kasher. You have to wait till it's ain't a ben yermi before you kasher.
The Rama is talking about Pesach.
The Rama is talking about Pesach. We are allowed to kasher ben yermi. You're really allowed to. But I think you're allowed to. The Rama says there's a chumrah to never kasher any ben yermi. Because you might go
wrong. It's not relevant to Pesach.
What'd you say?
Even if it's not relevant to Pesach.
Yeah, well, if you wouldn't do it by Pesach, because the chashav bas b'cholav, or chashav clay iser, kosher came by other things. But Pesach is the most cow case. You have one fourth to kasher for Pesach. There's no reason.
No, you can't even have Pesach. There's a massive kasher going on. Right, you kasher milk, you kasher flakes, you kasher everything. So then there's no more mix of school in the game.
Okay.
You're wrong. You kasher one kid, you got a problem with one kid. You're not going to do milk and flakes and this and that.
If you found it, as like
you're on your face, the same thing. So the milk is only kasher in the game.
So the Dr. Chuvah says like this. The Dr. Chuvah says the Ramah's meaning doesn't apply by Bishlakim. If the Bli was Bishlakim, he says because by Bishlakim, the Bli is above the Baroi. Well, he says, so anybody, he doesn't use these words, but any moron can tell that there's more water than there is Kali. Okay, that's obvious that it's going to be like that. And therefore, there's no reason for the minig. The minig is because you might not have Shishim. Because Shishim is a very sophisticated thing to calculate. Is there Shishim or is there not? Here, it's obvious that there's Shishim. I mean, it's almost impossible to not have Shishim in the Kali. Okay? I mean, it's only possible if you do a lot of kelim, but it's almost impossible. So therefore, it's mutter to kasher when it's ben yomim or mitzvah Shabbos. As soon as Shabbos ends, you kasher the kelim that they were used on Shabbos. Okay, so he's like in between. This Dr. Chuvah is sort of like in between the two tzolim. He's saying really the Rambam means you can only kasher when it's ain't ben yomim. You now use the cool of shishim. But he's willing to leave a little opening for cases where it's easy, it's obvious that you're going to have your.
How do you know he holds the kelim of shishim?
Because he says, you're only allowed to do it by Bishlakim because it's so obvious that there's going to be Shishim that there's no reason for a minig in that case. There's no need to be machmir to make such a minig for those kind of people. I mean, for the normal Shishim, I think his words even, that's hard to calculate whether the Shishim
or not. Yeah, that's not right.
No. He explains this all. I think he even uses the word that Shishim is hard to calculate, so the Choshesh made a gzera like Shishim Matu that you calculate wrong, which there's no zecher of that over here, but he's like saying that's what you understand it. But in a case where it's obvious that there's no problem, okay? So now there are two possible kulos come out of this Dr. Chuvah. Okay? Now if you realize we're starting with a chumrah. We're starting with a chumrah that says the Ramah means you must do Eina Ben Yermin, you can't do Shishim, and now we're having two possible kulos over that. The first one is, this is what Rabbi Shechter suggested, he said, so this whole chumrah is because people who are kashering Every Joe Schmo kasher, they might not realize all these details like not for not and calculating Shishim, so therefore they made it like an across the board rule, you have to have any binyam. So Rabbi Shechter says, so therefore, if you have a mashgiach overseeing a kashering, this is not just any shmendrik off the street. This guy is the mashgiach. This guy, his job is to watch out for the kashrus and make sure he does the kashrus right. So maybe for him there's no such clear. Okay, for him there's no such clear. Okay, so now, aside from the fact that we might question whether every person who we send for kashering qualifies for Rabbi Shechter had in mind. Okay, we could question that from that side of it. But the next thing he said, you'll see, we waited 3 minutes. Okay, but you'll see, just wait till I say the second thing he said, we'll get back to the grape juice, then you'll see really why what he says is very hard to be. I don't know if he ever said Lamaisa. He had talked about such a tzad, I think it's even in writing, such a tzad that maybe it doesn't apply to people. I don't know if he ever said it Lamaisa, that kind of thing. Now, the second kula is the other one that's much more famous, which is there's another thing which is bottled in a lesser amount. Okay, Bishlakim is bottled broy, but stam yain is bottled b'shisha. So shisha is normal kli will have shisha connected. The water will be six times as the volume of the water will be six times as much as the volume of the kli. So maybe in those kind of cases we get extend what Dr. Chuvah said from Bishlakim to even to the cases of stam yain. And when a person is kashering from Stam Yayin, they can kasher even if it's Ben Yomai, if there's Shisha in the Kli connected, because even though the Ramah is being understood to say that it's a minute you must be in the Ben Yomai, he doesn't mean that in cases like this. He only means it in cases where the food is
needs shishim to be mivatlet. But where the food needs a lesser amount, which is easy to tell what it is, like bitl b'roi or bitl b'shisha, then you don't, there's no such minhag, and you could just kasher the normal way, so to speak, which is just make sure the shisha, that you don't end up with getting yourself into trouble. Okay, that's what he said. So that this kula has a huge nafkamina, which is, and which is what it was said for, which is for beverage companies. Okay, that usually beverage companies, the only things that shape are either things that don't need to kasher through, like carmine, you know, things that don't affect the kelim. And the big trace thing that's in those plants is grape juice. So if you say that after stam yayin, you could kasher when it's ben yarmulke, so not only is that the main trace thing, I forgot to add this, beverage companies, their business is to make hundreds of products at a time. You know, they're always making an hour's worth of this and 6 hours worth of this. They're always changing products from one to the other. They don't make one. They don't just make Pepsi all day. They make a hundred different products. So they love to change back and forth. They don't like being restricted to having to make kosher every Monday morning, then make kosher, and then milk and trade afterwards, and be so restricted that on the Tuesday morning they can't make trade because else they messed up the whole week. So they like to be able to switch back and forth. So telling them you don't have to be any binyan, and instead you could just do a koshering anytime you want to. You can kosher anytime you want to. You make trade till 12, and by 12:30 you'll be back up in business. I was going to say, they had a timer. They watched how many minutes it took them to switch from product to product. And like, you know, like if they did regular switchover, it was like 12 minutes. And like with koshering, it was like 24 minutes. It was like they like counting the minutes of how many minutes it took them to get from one product to the next product. So they love the flexibility. So he said, so for these people, the minute that says you have to be in the minyan, it doesn't apply, not the din. The minute doesn't apply, so you just go with the din, and the din is, it's just a b'shisha, and everything's fine. Okay? Now, this psak that he gave, which Radovsky went along with us, but this psak was like, whoa, people love this psak, and became very popular, people are very familiar with this psak. But the logic of the psak, which is that there's going to be 6 times as much water as the kli, was gone, lost. That didn't make it in the translation. And he added a caveat. He made like a special condition in what he said, which is, he said, the Zaki Chuva says, that since it's obvious that there's more water than Kli, so by fish lachim you could do it. So he said, by Stam Yayin, you could only do it also if it's obvious that there's 6 times as much water as there is Kli. Now, not even that there should be 6 times as much, but it should be obvious, it should be partial. Like, you have, when you think of it, you have a big pot. If there's 6 times, yeah, of course, the shaft is like 20 or 30 times usually. So there's 6 times. So no problem, you can catch it. But he said it has to be obvious. So that was, forget about it, no one knew that. Even though he underlined it and made it in bold. Okay, that was put in underlined and bold, and it was given to, the psak was for Rabbi Grossman, who Rabbi Grossman was, at that time, took care of, I think, all the beverage companies. Rabbi Grossman was the editor of the Daven Kashrus, who printed it there in underlined, in bold, and English, no less. But that's what you have to, it has to not only be shisha connected, it has to be obvious that the shisha connected. Okay? But all these rules that just went out, and everyone only heard one thing, which was, you can kasher from stam yayin to regular things, even if it's been yam. Okay, that's what we heard. Okay? But this is a very big problem with this. Okay? The problem is that those same beverage companies that love to switch back and forth usually use plate heat exchangers, and they usually use fillers that have a 50 nozzles going around them, and there's so much metal in these systems, okay, there's so much metal in there, so much blia that's absorbed into there, that there's usually not shisha. Not that there's usually not even obvious shisha with Rabbi Shachter one. Usually isn't even shisha at all. That one last thing that makes it bad is that they clean this equipment, they don't bring in water from the outside, they don't flush water through, they take the surge tank, they fill it up with water and chemicals, whatever they have to do, and then they run the water through the system and then back to the surge tank. They make this little loop of water. They recycle the water. What?
They're a CIP tank.
Right. Most of these beverage companies do not come from an outside CIP tank that flushes through and then it goes, you know, that it's the CIP system. Most of them work within
the
system.
Get detergent into the surge tank.
Exactly. They fill it up with water, put in their chemicals, run it around, and then drain it out, and then just run water, whatever the system is. They work right from the system. The guy who's standing there takes, you know, finishes running through trace, puts in the next thing and flushes it through. They don't usually use the CIP, right? And it turns out that from the math of it, it takes be'erach 10 minutes of new water flowing through. Okay, flowing through this equipment before you'll have bitl b'shisha.
Wow. How'd you figure this out?
And
weigh the equipment?
No, we measure the equipment. Okay.
You measure that plate heat? How do you measure the volume of the metal?
So we measure the actual size of it, okay, and then use tables from the
manufacturers to know how much metal is in there versus how much ear space. In other words, if the heat exchanger is 25 inches long, that's not all metal, but the space is in between. But it's about 50% metal. Okay. The metal and the space, so we had numbers from...
How much weight? The weight per cubic.
Well, okay, I don't know which one is easier, but in this case, we knew the numbers from the manufacturers of how much percent metal there is versus ear. The plates are very close together. There's just a drop of ear in between. And we did pipes and we did fillers. Each of the pieces, we went around piece to piece. The plates were the hardest because there's space in between. Okay, and made a question of it takes about 10 minutes worth of water flowing through to make the shisha. Okay, now, so guys, in these systems, there isn't 10 minutes, it's 2 minutes worth. You fill up the tank, and then there's not very much water in there. For that water to run through, it takes a minute. And then the same water keeps going around and around. It's not new water. So to get it, you have to have like a CIP system that brings water from the outside and drains in it. Or, in one of Dovid's plants, they do their kashering off of a big tank. Not the littlest tank that's there, but a nice-sized tank on the Washisha. And one of his other systems, they used not a plate heat exchanger, they used a tubular heat exchanger. Okay, those have much less metal to them. Okay, tubular, it's one tube inside of another tube. They have much less metal to them than the plate ones do. Okay, so there are places that you could do it, and there are places that have added on. They said, we'll make our surge tank a little bit bigger, or we'll work off of a different tank instead of the surge tank. But if you do it just the standard way, you will not have shisha. You won't have anywhere near shisha in the water connected to the bleeder that's in the kli. So here we're talking about that the mashkiach was told straight out by Rabbi Shachter what you have to do, okay? And he didn't get it. So if you think about the first thing Rabbi Shachter said, which is that when you send the mashkiach, he of course will understand all the subtleties of the din and get it all just right, that whole Ramah wouldn't apply. So here we have Mamish in the same situation, and he told them, and I'm telling you, it's underlined and bold, and in English, in the Tava Kashrus, printed, sent to all of them by the RC6 here, these companies, right? So it couldn't get much better than that, and yet people do it wrong. All over the place, people getting it wrong because they're not remembering that there's a cheshbon here. It has to be shisha in the water. You can only do it.
Right.
Well, whatever. It's exactly what we were saying before. It's a detail that's too sophisticated for most people to keep in mind all the time. I mean, it's a very fine detail. So that would be the reason why the Ramah says Dominican is totally made in Benyamin.
All the stuff
applies
to kashering with a pegima also?
No. If you do pegima, if you're kashering with a pegima, that's like a different angle. I should have mentioned that. Kashering with a pegima is like a different thing, which is to say, maybe we should have talked about that. Kashering with a pegima is a separate thing, which says, I will make it artificially like an ene benyamin. I'm going to be pegging it, that will artificially turn it into an ene benyamin. So that saying is, I'm doing what the Ramah says, so you have to be ene benyamin, I'm making it ene benyamin, I'm speeding up the process. Yeah?
So you realize that in Rabbi Gerson, in one of his few things about for a he just said.
What did he say?
He says, you've got to be carried, even with a pegging, it's being you.
Okay, so we can talk about that later, okay?
In your company, there's two things. Number one, famous China is in Honima, five generation companies.
Yes.
So therefore, the mikvah to make up. And number two, that the mice and the atom is really just Mishra Mishra, those heat exchangers.
Let's say. Maybe that's
from the great.
If it's from great, then it's Mishra Mishra. Let's say.
So maybe that could be the meaning does not apply. So what?
Why is the meaning not applied?
And that's the fact that it's mutter anyways.
The product is going to be mutter, b'tiyevet will be mutter. We don't hold the tashmish b'shef as well.
Why is it b'tiyevet? Why is it b'tiyevet?
B'tiyevet meaning the amount that's going to flow through, the bleeds that come out will be bottled into the food. You make grape juice, then you make apple juice.
We don't have tashmish.
The apple juice will be mutter b'tiyevet.
Why is it only b'tiyevet?
Because
the tashmish
b'shef is not b'tiyevet? Because, right, the mechabed we hold it's only b'tiyevet only if it's any b'tiyevet also.
That's right.
Okay. Well, the whole point here is to avoid any b'tiyevet. Now you're telling me another reason not to be questioned the minute. So don't be questioned, but do the din. The din is that there has to be shisha in the water. You don't want to do the minute. Okay. You're telling me another reason to not do the minute because you have good. It's a kosher company, and it's going to be the product that's going to be made is going to be kosher with the
evidence.
So now kosher, like you're supposed to.
Because
the din is you have to have six times as much water.
It's not the shoe with a minute on the
okay, like, yeah. Fine, okay. So you're right. We get out of it that way if you want to.
So I understand. Why don't they just do what you do begin? If they want to be able to do minute.
I think that the reason for that is, I'm not sure, I think that the reason is because if you to do that, you have to have Mashkiach. Who's going to make sure that they do that? So to do, once you have to have the Mashiach, we just lost what we want. The whole game was
the procedure. I don't think the sterilization process allows for Tegim in the sun, because a lot of the Tegim was not going to work on
a bottle. An old dairy, okay.
They use the Tegim.
Uh-huh.
But when you do the sterilization to 12, to 30, to 40,
okay, so I'm going to say something. Maybe I'm going to leave part of this for next time, because you mentioned about Pegima. Maybe I should talk about Pegima. I don't think we've done that yet. About being plugged in things. Maybe I should stick that in here, because that's an artificial way to make Inib and Yom. Okay, so I'm going to not say something else. I'm going to say that I'll stick with that. Okay, I'm going to leave that. I have to just say that there are those who said the opposite, sort of an opposite of what we're saying. I think we once talked about this, which is just back to Dr. Tshuva for a second, which was that Dr. Tshuva said that if it's bishalakim, the bli is above the baroy, since the bli is above the baroy, therefore you can cash even with ben yamin, because it's obvious that it could be good the baroy. Okay? So he's talking about cashing with ben yamin from bishalakim. The people suggested that if a kli is aim at ben yamin from bishalakim, we shouldn't have to cash it at all.
So because I think we're
what?
That's
I think okay. The Dr. Tshuva is okay. If it's trade from bishalakim, and it's ain't a binyamin, you shouldn't have to kasher at all. Why? Because it's ain't a binyamin, and it's a special mishabah. Because anything you're going to cook in this thing is going to be butter, not the baroid. So therefore, you should be able to kasher it with a chilo. Okay, that's what.
That's not true.
You should be able to
use that kasher at all.
Yeah. If you put a little bit in the pot, you just you're putting a small portion in the pot.
If you think if I put in a small amount and we hold Chama Chelsea beans, please, that even the other part, then okay, fair. You talk about and commercially, when the people are going to always put into the pot at least a certain amount of it, so maybe you can get away with it, which is actually where the Shiloh came up. It was a company that made some foods, I think they were drying foods, and some of them were like cooking, like let's say potato and rice. Some of the things were bishlakim, which has give hashgacha on the other things that are not bishlakim and don't even bother with kashrut. If they arrange it, that they do those at the end of the week, so then it'll always be Ani Binyamin, and it'll be Shamish Peshava. Now, I think we want to talk about this, but there's a question on this. Okay? And the question is, what'd you say?
Both of being very successful.
Yes, always throw that in. It's always worth it. Okay.
We use it one time every week at the
Chas v'Shalom, if those companies should come visit the Gayers Commission, and become coaches, come to it.
What do we do? I know what we do. We cash it every day, every week. What do you mean? Oh, we don't cash it.
Okay.
We don't cash it.
The question on this, what I just said to you is, the question, I don't know what the answer is, but the question is like this. The Mechaber holds that also the Shamash B'Shefa is mutter, even if it's Ben Yamer. He doesn't need any Ben Yamer. That's only the Taz and the Shach. The Mechaber, the Ramah holds that it's mutter, even when it's Ben Yamer. Okay. So why does the Mechaber say why does he bring the day that you have to kasher against the Mishlakim? If it's also the Shamash B'Shefa, so what are you doing kashering? What do you have to kasher for at all?
Yeah, other things. Again, not a spoon. Took a spoon stuck in the Mishlakim.
What are you going to do with the spoon afterwards? Anything you stick it into, when you take the spoon later and you'll stick it into a piece of food, there's going to be rive in the food connected to the cleat. So maybe it's for your case.
I think it's to take a ladle, put it in the shop, and then I take a ladle and put it in the ladle soup and take it out.
Yes, how much soup is in the ladle? Look at how much metal is in the ladle. Look at how much, there just has to be more liquid than ladle. So maybe it's for your case. Maybe you answered it before. You said, maybe for like a pot, I might use a small amount in that pot. And if you hold the Chacham Chassid, you get a lot of bli into a little thing. Maybe that's what you mean.
To tell you need a kasher. The halacha is that you have to kasher. Now, you have to test it over the street of jail, fine, but that's not.
So it had like almost no application. You see. So maybe his case is.
Almost no application. My question for you, Jack, I guess, is you have to kasher altogether, right? Some say you don't
altogether. Right, why would anybody say the kasher altogether? What's the. Okay, so maybe this is an answer. Okay,
the street of jail,
the whole one who won't work by three.
Because
it's essentially Mr. Fair Bishavet.
Okay, so maybe we'll get out of it. Maybe we can say, out of it. I have to tell you, I seem to remember that we talked about this when we talked about Rabbi Shechter's idea that you may have to kasher kelim even if you don't have to kasher them. Okay, there might be such an inyan to kasher kelim even if you don't have to. That's what we talked about. Anyway, we'll leave that. So I think, I was going to say something else, but I was going to leave it. Maybe we'll do next time. I think next week, July 4th. Next time, Rich Hashem, we'll do being pugging things and this other thing. and this other thing from Rabbi Shechter, this other thing that I was going to mention now, we'll just leave it, which is related to this thing. Okay.